You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Poor Screaming A, still unhappy with the Knicks. I'm not kidding you. The Knicks released a statement apologizing to fans.
The roster's out for the Pelicans. Sorry, I had to break the news just now for you.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Couldn't wait.
You're doing that right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to the.
No, go ahead. It's your show, man. Just, you know, go ahead. It's the roster.
All right. So the.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just feel free to let me know that's coming. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
All right. So the Pelicans 2019 Summer League rosters: Jalen Adams, Javon Bess, Trayvon Blewett, Tony Carr, Zylan Chetatum, Aubrey Dawkins, Makuto Hijama, Frank Jackson, London Perrance, Luke Petestri, these names I've never seen before. Kenrick Williams,
You're
Zion Williamson, and Christian Wood.
You're doing great.
I'm sorry, who was before Christian Wood?
Zion Williamson.
There he is! He's on the roster.
Who's this guy, Blewett?
Yeah, Trevin Blewett.
Boy, how much fun do you think announcers could have with that name?
He played last year. He earned himself
a
shot.
But if he misses a shot at the last second.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Jordan.
I tried my best.
Try those names again?
No.
Those are South Shore names, that's why.
Those are overseas names.
Ooh, across the lake.
You excited?
Oh yeah, that one big name, Zion Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see what it's like dunking on other guys that, you know, really haven't been picked up by an NBA team yet. So
this is your segment, so go ahead, tell me about it.
No, go ahead.
I thought it was very important news,
so I kind of just
interrupted
you.
Oh, it is. I agree with you. Look, bottom line, you have Zion Williamson there. That's awesome. Kenny Hustle, Kenrick Williams, Christian Wood, Frank Jackson. Also, as see if we can get Daniel Salerson on. I just text him. He's going to give us a buzz. He's going to be calling the game along with Jim Eichenhofer again a couple of days in a row here for Summer League. So we'll get that in. There's the phone ringing. Perfect. So he can give us a little feedback on some of these players that are going to be giving an opportunity to play again. I don't know how long. I don't know what you're going to see from it. But the fact that he's on the roster leads you and tends you to believe that he will see action in summer league play. So that's why it's so important. If you didn't see him on the roster, it's a clear indication he's not going to play. I want to say AD wasn't. So it was so long ago. It's horrible. Well, imagine how that works. Daniel Salerson joins us to kind of go out literally fresh and hot off the presses. Daniel, how you doing today, man?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. D. Salerson is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Him and Jim Eichenhofer will be calling the games, including his Friday Pels and Knicks prime time nationally televised game. So the roster is out now. We can actually talk about it and see who's actually on there. And look, you and I have been going back and forth over the week. You didn't know either until the roster comes out. We don't know who's on there. First thing, obviously, that pops on your mind is that you do see Zion Williamson. So I'm assuming being on the roster means you're going to see him at some point in time.
I'm assuming so. I think we'll find out more in the next few days as they begin mini camp tomorrow. Everyone traveled out there today and yesterday. They'll practice tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then we'll get ready for the game against the Knicks. But it is nice to see him on the roster, and it should lead in nicely to Knicks and Pelicans on Friday night against the number 3 pick, R.J. Barrett.
And I think one of the things that you see on here as well, and this weekend was pretty exciting. Well, this weekend, not even 24 hours ago, kind of see what all the eventual signings that will be announced coming up here on July 6th. But one of the things that you'll see on this roster here is some of these young players that, again, kind of filled the roster not only last year, but really made it competitive. And I'm talking about Christian Wood. I'm talking about Kenrick Williams. Frank Jackson's a lot of guys, people that people saw, fans that saw him give some time and minutes. Trevin Blewett as well. Those are all on the roster. That excites me to sort of see them play that have some NBA minutes along with Zion.
Yeah, same here. And I'm glad that they're actually getting to play in Summer League, because guys like that sometimes don't even play. But the fact that they're still young guys that still need the experience shows that they are committed, you know, to wanting to get better, especially a guy like Frank Jackson, who proved that he belonged in the NBA last year before he got hurt. Hopefully, you know, last year he played 6 minutes of Summer League and then got hurt. So we're hoping that's not the case this year. But between Jackson and Kenrich Williams and Christian Wood was, I think, second team all Summer League last year heading into this. He played at UNLV, so he's going home. But I'm excited, and keep in mind with Trevin Blewett, this is how he earned his roster spot last year. Was here, he was undrafted, and some Pelicans took a flyer on him, and he made his roster based on Summer League. So you see these other guys on the roster that you didn't mention. I think that's their way of saying, hey, you never know what can happen. So it should be a good opportunity for some young guys to get some reps.
I think one of the things, speak with Daniel Salerson, he and Jim Eichenhofer, the Pelicans will be calling the game here on ESPN New Orleans on Friday. I think one of the things that definitely stands out to me here as well is you have some experience on this. I know that's weird saying on the Summer League, but I think if you're going to give Zion a little taste of what it's sort of going to be, it does sort of help to have some players that don't look lost out there. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're going to have some Summer League rosters that are throwing out a bunch of first-round, second-round picks, guys in the G League last year that don't have that experience, but you have guys that have actually played in clutch minutes down the stretch for the Pelicans last year, and Williams, Jackson, and Blewett has experience the NBA floor, and of course you go with Christian Wood, who's going to be in his fourth year with the team. So yeah, I mean, that's what Zion talked about when he talked about joining this team, and it wasn't just for Summer League, but some of the young talent that could help him ease into this process, guys that have been in similar situations, it'll certainly help Zion transition a little bit here, and that's the good thing about Summer League. There's not a lot of pressure on Summer League. You know, of course, they want to win every game, but this is a chance for them to kind of learn how to play with each other, because you might see some of these guys on the floor at the same time once the regular season.
Now, some Pelicans fans listening right now, Daniel, go, what about Alexander Walker, Jackson Hayes? Technically not Pels yet until the trade takes place, and that's not till July 6th. Your play dates are 5, 6, 8, and 10 of July. So technically those guys, and you're seeing Will Guillory at the Athletic saying, the team does plan on adding him to the roster once that happens. So, but that's why if people are looking at it right now, Daniel, it's not on the roster because they're technically not Pelicans yet. The trade hasn't officially taken place.
Correct. With the moratorium ending on the 6th, you won't see those two guys on the roster right now. But as they put in parentheses there, right above the roster, says subject to change, which means you will see two more players. And if I had to guess, I guess they would make their debut on the 8th. I think it's hard because I don't think they can even practice with the team right now or do anything with them until they're officially signed. So when you're already playing two games, they'll have that practice day on the 7th to kind of get them acclimated. And then they're probably just going to be thrown out there and say, hey, let's see what you got, which is the perfect time to do it, Summer League. So, yeah, the good news is this is not the final roster, and you will get to see a couple other guys, but you're going to have to wait a couple games in to see them. But that should be exciting, too. I mean, it just adds more depth to this roster and more exciting players to see here in these next week or so.
I'm not even gonna lie to you. I want to see Hayes and Zion just rubbing down the court and see who can dunk it harder. I really do. Like, look, there's a reason that game is sold out on Friday. I'm not saying it's not about RJ and things of that nature, but obviously the battle and whatever you want to call it. But man, when you're looking at 143, I mean, you've been to these Summer League games here as well. Is it boggle your mind that there's this much excitement? But I guess it's something we need to start getting used to, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really surprise me anymore just based on the popularity, and that's why every game is nationally televised, whether it's on ESPN3 or the ESPN family of networks and also NBA TV. I mean, there was excitement, and people now are starting to make trips to Summer League. You want to see these guys. It's the first glance at some of these rookies. As you mentioned, Zion and RJ Barrett and some of the other top picks. I mean, this is your first glimpse at them, so instead of waiting all the way to preseason, regular season, I think that's why it's grown in popularity, and with the hype as much as Zion and the RJ Barrett, you know, people want to go see them play, and especially if they're playing against each other in the first game. I mean, I think the NBA and ESPN strategized that real well to make a primetime first game Knicks and Pelicans. So, yeah, it's exciting to watch, and I think a lot of fans are going to be excited to see these two play against each other.
Daniel Salerson of the Pelicans Radio Network. At D. Salerson's the way to follow over on Twitter. He's going to be calling the game with Jim Eichenhofer on Friday right here on ESPN New Orleans. First time ever, Daniel, that Summer League games are going to be on air, so I'm super pumped about that. One of the things that I'm also pumped about is obviously less than 24 hours since the start of free agency. You're seeing some of the moves being made in and around the league. Where do you think Kawhi is going to go, Daniel?
Man, I don't know. I was asked that earlier today, and, you know, I hope he stays in Toronto. You know, it's Canada Day. Once you come back with your squad, I think that opens it up for so much, so many more teams. The parity in the league next year is going to be unbelievable. Even if he does join the Lakers, you know, I still think there's going to be a lot of teams that have a chance of winning the championship. I have no idea, but this is such a Kawhi thing to kind of take his time, let everything else happen, and then he kind of goes where he wants to go. But I mean, time's running out for the Lakers, too, as far as if you don't get Kawhi, then you have all that money, you got to start filling out the roster. And if you do get Kawhi, then you still have to figure out how to fill out that roster because you only have four or five guys locked in. Mm-hmm. And most of the salary cap used on three main guys. So once that Kawhi Leonard domino drops, it's going to be interesting. That's when the rest of the league is going to get a lot busier again as teams start to fill out their roster.
Obviously, we can talk a little bit more about players after the six in terms of fit and things of that nature, but you cover the league and you've called games. What type of player is J.J. Redick?
I mean, he's a sharpshooter, and he's a guy that you can rely on. I mean, he averaged for a high 18 points last year for the Sixers. He's a guy that's never missed the playoffs. He's a great locker room guy. I mean, great with pick and roll, dribble handoff. Those are the kind of things you need out of a sharpshooter like J.J. Redick, especially with what Allen Gentry's offense wants to do. You need a shooter, and the fact that you were able to snag him was incredibly impressive yesterday. I think a lot of teams and a lot of people were surprised that it was New Orleans that got him. But, man, he'll be excited to have him on the floor. He's such a great guy, and I had 1 year with him in Orlando, and I was interning there. And,
oh, wow.
He's going to be fun to watch, but he's also great off the court as well. You guys are going to really like him.
One of the other things I thought was impressive, too, and you're talking about great guys, and we've heard David Griffin and Alvin Gentry really harp on this, but especially Griff talk about the type of players that he wants in that locker room. When you see two players in Rudy Gobert and Ingles for Utah immediately tweet about Derek Favors, about how great a guy he is, how hardworking he is, how despite seasons of, hey, we're going to trade you here, we're going to trade you there, how it didn't affect his work ethic and play on the court. Man, I know a lot of people looking at how some of these moves can help Zion, but I'm like, dude, Ingram, Ball, they're still young, Hart's still young, and if you're Jackson Hayes, who better to have kind of mold you and sort of see what how you do it than a guy like a Derek Favors? I really, really think he's a good player.
Locker room culture is big, and not just for the Pelicans, but around the league. You've seen teams that have dismantled based on the fact that guys didn't get along in the locker room. And when you have young guys like Zion and Brandon Ingram along the ball, you need those young vets to kind of take them under their wing, and that's what a guy like J.J. Redick does, a guy like Derek Favors does as well. And it's not like Derek Favors is old either, and neither is J.J. Redick. They've been in the league long enough, though, that they kind of know how it goes. So especially a big man like Derek that can help kind of mentor them, it's going to be huge. And that was one of the things you mentioned, David, addressed, was the locker room culture, and wanting to make sure that everyone was on the same page and that kind of everyone was in the same boat, too, that this is a young, hungry team that's going to compete. And you know, everyone thinks, oh, this is rebuilding. This is definitely not rebuilding with what David Griffin has constructed here in the past few months. But it's going to be really exciting once we finally get a regular season schedule out to see what this team has in store.
Exciting might be an understatement, my friend. I can't imagine what you must be feeling like on Friday. Again, this should be fun. Pels, Knicks right here in ESPN New Orleans. What time is tip time here locally?
Locally, it will be at 8:30, so it's a late one. And then Saturday at 9 o'clock. Monday at 8:30, and then Wednesday at 6:30, and then we'll have to wait and see if the Pelicans make the playoffs. Those don't begin till Saturday, and their consolation game will be on Friday the 12th. So, yeah, first game, 8:30 p.m. It's late, but it's a Friday night. What else do you have to do? Stay up and listen or watch on the TV, turn the volume down. It'll be nice to have some local coverage, that's for sure. You know, you have a lot of guys around the league that will broadcast the game, but it's good to have a little local flavor, and Jim's already out there, so we'll have a ton of interviews. It's not just going to be traditional play-by-play. We want to make sure we have a conversation. We'll get some guests on board, and then once July 6th rolls around, we can finally talk about some of these new guys. We'll have plenty of people to talk about, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, sounds good, man. Get Jim on here this week to talk a little bit about that as well. Kind of take advantage of the fact, man, that we're your home for Pelicans basketball, so We'll be talking to you and Jim a few more times here over the next couple of days. Thank you, bud. Appreciate your time today.
Whenever you need me, as long as I have a lot of work to do in my house in Vegas, I'll be happy to talk to you.
Sounds good, man. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Poor Jordan. Everybody's going to Vegas with us. You're upset. I know you want to be at Summer League.
Can you just fly me out there?
What do you mean I can? I don't have any of those platinum or gold cards. I got a regular one, but like the interest is, what is it, Joey? 45% for a dollar?
Do we not get that with being the flagship?
Yeah. Oh, you think we get a company credit card now? Pelican logo on it?
Hopefully I could get the new NBA 2K from the Pelicans.
Mrs. G. Benson on the bottom of the name of the credit card.
Could you imagine?
Oh, no, I couldn't imagine that. Believe me, that'd be... Well, that's not where you're on your flight.
No, there's no swipe.
That's where you just go to Atlantic Aviation. And which one's the private jet? Thank you.
I'll take that one.
Then we'd have to decide. Do we want the Bellagio or the Caesars? I mean, you know. I'm sure there's even a budget for those that get to use the credit card over there. Bottom line, we don't have that. Ali Kossel is going to join us from As the Bird Writes. Give us his take. Again, the Pelicans Summer League roster is out. And Zion Williamson is on it. And again, Alexander Walker and Jackson Hayes, the other two first-round picks from draft night, can't officially be on there until the Anthony Davis trade is. I know it's silly. He's a Laker. I get it. It's just July 6th is when you can put ink to paper, and it gets filed into the league office. So then they will be put on the roster. You're listening to your home for Pelicans basketball. It's ESPN New Orleans. You remember when?
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Dear Vet Ticks, it was nice to spend the night with my daughter and other veterans. It's so humbling to attend an event when you feel appreciated.
I had a wonderful time with my family. Thank you for the memories, Vet Ticks.
Dear Vet Ticks, thank you for a great experience and for your support of the military and veterans.
Thank you so much, Vet Ticks. Our family has gone through a lot the last few years, and this gave us a nice break.
Every empty seat at a concert, game, or special event is a missed opportunity to say thank you to a veteran or a service member. By giving your extra tickets to VetTix, you'll help America's heroes reduce stress, strengthen family bonds, and create a truly happy memory that will last a lifetime. So when you really want to say thank you for your service, give the experience. Give the memory. VetTix. Give something to those who gave. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to vettix.org.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
What do players want to get out of this? Obviously, if there's going to be more money, you're splitting revenue, so you're going to get some of that money. But also, you end up not having any inactives. We don't understand the inactives anyway.
Inactives make no damn sense.
You have 53-man roster and 46 dress on game days. Why?
Yeah.
Just dress them all. I mean, then you have a 10-person practice squad. So out of this, will the players try to get, say, you're going to go two more games? We need more guys on the roster.
Correct.
So do you add five players, which is 160 more? Do you add seven players, which is 225, 224 more? Do you add players to the roster? That's a win for players. Players will be able to play 18 games. Yeah. They will be able to play 18 games. I know you're going to hear a lot of cry foul on it, but all of a sudden, if the money's there and there are more jobs there, you're going to see how feasible it is.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As we continue our chats of what's going on in and around NBA free agency, not even 24 hours old, and obviously Summer League, the roster has come out. Ali Kassel, editor-in-chief of As the Bird Writes, joined us. Ali, how are you doing today, man? Say that again. Sorry, bud. You broke up a bit.
I said I'm doing really well, but I'm a little tired, of course, but the enthusiasm level, man, I think I can match you today.
Yeah, I think that's what I've gathered from, we went through a list of people that cover the team just to kind of get their feels and takes. It really does seem like the players that are agreeing to become Pelicans here officially on July 6th fit, make sense, and just continue a string of moves by David Griffin that just make you stand up and go, oh, okay, so this is how it's done the right way.
It sure seems like they're following the plan and, executing all of them. I mean, Jason, Derek, they're two highly skilled. They're still on the upside, but they're two highly skilled veterans who actually still incredibly big.
Yeah, let's try to get a little better connection. Ali, we're going to give you a call right back here, and then we'll try to see if we can get a little better line. Sometimes it happens like that. Of course, as we were talking a little bit earlier, I don't know, what is the, Jordan, the bigger storyline in terms of KD kind of going over to the Nets with Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan? Well, the people upset are waiting for Kawhi Leonard making his way over to somewhere as we wait to see where that's going to go. See if we can get Ollie better. Hey, exactly. Ollie, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you guys fine. How do I sound?
Yeah, a lot better. There we go. So go ahead. Just overall your thoughts. Obviously, these moves seem to have made sense from David Griffin.
Yeah, he's executing a plan and it seems to be flawlessly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pelicans had two gigantic holes. And he wanted to add more veterans, but he seemed to do that with just two moves. Build that center position, the biggest hole, I think, on the roster, with Derek Favors, who's highly regarded, and he's still on the young side, and even better, he's a pretty doggone good basketball player. He'll defend the rim at a really good level, high level, defend that paint. He'll be kind of that perfect mentor for Zion Williamson. Let's face it, they have kind of similar body types. You'll kind of hope to see Zion use his big frame and avoid foul trouble, and just utilize it kind of like Derek Favors does with his about 270 pounds frame. And of course, JJ Redick. I mean, how can you not like one of the most premier shooting guards in the business, Bill, even though he's 34? I feel like he's coming off his best season, right? Averaged 18 points for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he was absolutely instrumental to the success of their offense. When he was on the court, they hummed perfectly. You know, he by himself can draw the attention of a couple defenders, open up the lane, like he did for Embiid and Ben Simmons, which, you know, as we want to see here in New Orleans, for Drew Holiday, for Zion, for Lonzo, you know, guys that really can't shoot the ball. So Redick is that perfect one-man gravitational pull, and Griffin to be able to sign both of them neatly and fit it in the cap space without, you know, throwing, say, a four-year deal, Gus, I think that would have scared me a little bit at a guy like Al Horford where you're committing long-term and big money. He didn't do any of that. He got two great guys, two good contracts, both in money terms and in the amount of years. So another home run, as you were saying.
You know, one of the things, speaking with Ali Kassel as the Bird Writes, that really stand out to me as well is being able to bring in people that can help the locker room in a number of ways, not only obviously on how to get things done the right way, have been there before, but the fact that you have Redick that's been in the postseason each and every of his 13 seasons, Favors been in a nice situation in Utah and being able to see that as well. But for guys like a Jackson Hayes to be able to learn from Okafor, the ups and minuses, you know, pluses and minuses of his career when he started, to seeing how Favors goes about his business. But really, I don't hear a lot of people kind of talk about it with Ingram and Ball and Hart as well. Those are still young players, and I think when you look back at it, it's almost a chance for them to start over and kind of learn how to be pros and go about it, because you know, they get drafted and it's, hey, you guys got to be the next Magic Johnson and, you know, and championship winners. And they really probably didn't get to kind of grow and learn and just kind of take their time with their game.
No, they didn't. I mean, these are two 21-year-olds you just mentioned, right? Josh Hart, mm-hmm. obviously, is a little older. Won a championship there with Villanova. But, yeah, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, they're still literally babies in this league. There's prospects that are drafted older than they are. And coming off the Los Angeles Lakers season, we all know good and well about such dysfunction, you know, had to play, I think, a big negative on their psyche. I think we saw it, too, in their games, right? Lonzo struggled ridiculously from the free throw line. Brandon Ingram, you know, he dealt with his issue. He got into that little skirmish with Chris Paul, also with James Harden, you know, and you saw him just react kind of negatively on the bench at times, although he was playing better before his season ended injury, but it took him months to get to that level. Now they get to come to a fresh start, a city where there will be no type of expectations like the bright lights of Los Angeles. Plus, as you just mentioned, Gus, they've got these great veterans, these high-character guys that, you know, you didn't see in Los Angeles. Everybody thought that LeBron James would bring them under their wing. Well, he was busy throwing them under the bus. You definitely don't, or we should, nobody should expect that here in New Orleans. So, yeah, even though these rookies are going to be able to learn a lot, you've also got to think Lonzo and Brandon, they will also learn some. But they'll be given that first opportunity to flourish because, you know, I think we can expect both of those guys to be in the starting lineup on day one with some really good bets.
Ali, finally, take a look at the Summer League roster that came in. Obviously, until the deal happens on July 6th, you're not going to see Jackson Hayes and Alexander Walker as well. But Zion's on there. So that kind of gives me an idea of, look, if you see that, that probably means that you're going to see some action. And also, I think the other thing that stands out to me is you see a lot of the players that are probably going to be competing for roster spots and likely could be, from Kenrick Williams to Christian Woods to Frank Jackson as well, Trevin Blewett seen sometimes. So you're going to have some guys, I think, on the court, Ali, that when Zion's on the court, they're not lost. They kind of know how to run the offense. They kind of know what to do. So I think that's exciting to me because you have players that have played in Gentry's system that have played on this team. And then it's going to be helpful to sort of see what it may look like, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, that's what Summer League is about. It's obviously development, giving the guys a chance. But the ones that do well, they're the ones that have kind of been there before and, of course, have earned NBA minutes. And I love the fact that Kenrich and Christian Wood are both on it because I think they're both competing for spots on its roster. When you look up and down what the Pelicans have done, they pretty much maximized the 15 spots. And, you know, now looking on the outside in could be Kenrich and Christian because even though they look pretty good in certain minutes last year, well, suddenly they get thrust to the bottom because guess what? The talent improves that much more with what Griffin has done in these last, really, what, 10 days, right? Suddenly Etuan Moore, who Alvin Gentry relied on for a couple years, one of the best players, a key vital member of that starting lineup, suddenly he may be looking at being on the third string on this Pelicans team. So, yeah, Kenrich, Christian, they've got to perform well. I think they're fighting for the roster spot. Zion, it's a perfect opportunity to blossom. It's like taking that step between college and playing with a lot of guys that have played professional NBA minutes. And, look, I don't want to overlook the fact that Frank Jackson, I know he had a really good finish to his last season, but, you know, was cut short by injury again. He really needs to spend more time because he's got a lot more development to go as well. So, it's going to be a fun, exciting Summer League schedule, and I can't wait. You know, I'm hoping we just miss one game of seeing Jackson Hayes and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. If things play out the way they should, the AD trade will be finalized on Saturday, and then hopefully in the following game the Pelicans have, that we can see those two rookies join Zion.
Yeah, I'm with you. I told that to Daniel just before you. I'd want to see just a few minutes of what it's going to look like on the court to have Hayes and Williamson next to one another going up and down, man. And that's why I'm pumped about whether it's Favors, Hayes, or you name it, pick and roll. I think people can pick it. This team can pick and roll people to death.
Yeah. I mean, I think we wanted to see Zion play just 1 minute, right, Gus? I mean, all these highlights coming from Duke.
Right.
He's supposed to be the next transcendent player. And, of course, he's going to be New Orleans colors. Yeah. I just want to see him get through it. Summer League, honestly, healthy. And I'm not sure we'll see him play all the games either. That's another thing we got to mention because he's got an upcoming date with the Select and the Olympic team, right? So in August. So I think we may not see him for the full Summer League schedule. So if you have a chance, please watch the first couple of games because that may be the only time we'll see him in Summer League.
There it is. Ali Casso, as always, man. What can people find over there at the Bird Rights?
Sure, Gus. We're over at SB Nation. You can find all our work, articles, podcasts, and we've had a ton of them lately at the Bird Rights, www.thebirdrights.com. Follow us along on social media, both on Twitter, Facebook, same name.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ali. Talk soon, bud.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gus.
Yep, for sure. Quick break. We come back. Head coach Kenny Farrell here as well. I can't wait to hear what he had to say about the U.S. yesterday taking on Curaçao. Who would have thought that it had been a game to the death? Never. quick break. Sports Hangover returns next. We're at your home for Pelicans basketball. You hear that game. Don't forget, 8:30 Friday nights right here on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the summer clearance event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on a Ram today. See all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. The UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
What would happen to your business if critical files were deleted? Would your company be able to recover if struck by a disaster, a virus, or even a power outage? With our local ETEL Business Data Center's backup and recovery services, your data is safe under any condition. Our 24-hour monitoring and redundant power keeps your systems and data protected in the safest place possible. Get a quote at EATELbusiness.com.
Join us on Saturdays from 10 to noon for the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair for the latest in high school, college, and professional sports from your local sports experts. That's the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair on Saturday from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 100.3.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. I know Noble Justice is the way to follow. Head coach Kenny Farrell, NobleJustice.com as well. We've been talking soccer most of the month of June. With the Gold Cup and the Women's World Cup as well. USA taking on England. There's Spygate stuff going on. We'll talk about that in a sec. The preview tomorrow. We might actually speak to somebody tomorrow outside the stadium to give us a little preview and atmosphere over there in Paris. First off, man, the U.S. yesterday playing in the Gold Cup. It's an elimination round, right? Yeah. So it's, the quarterfinals. And they're playing Curaçao. It's an easy game. I mean, Jose Altidore didn't even start. I mean, there's no reason to really play your guys. 4-5-0, nice little highlight type game. 1-0, and
I've seen like everybody say that's been nice that it was an underwhelming performance.
Yeah, underwhelming is probably never a good thing.
Is that just another word for crap?
Yeah,
I mean it's bad. I don't care if you.
There was no effort, energy. I mean, like I saw that. It looks like here's my point, and I didn't mean to cut you off because I asked you the question.
Yeah.
But afterwards, they had the replay of Mexico-Costa Rica, which went into penalty kicks. Right. They did extra time, penalty kicks, and it went to the sixth round of penalty kicks.
Right.
That I'm texting Jordan. It's like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I'm like, you have to go watch this. Like my palms were sweating, even though I knew the outcome. But the speed in the 110th minute was faster than what I saw USA Cures. I mean, it was a different league of football that I saw.
No, taking it seriously, it's a bad result. But lucky enough, they got a victory. Could you imagine if they didn't get a victory, if it did go to penalties and it was, and they did lose the game, where we'd be right now? We're in a precarious situation. Everyone's looking for the positive side. It was a win, and then people say, well, at least we kept a clean sheet. I think these are things that should be happening against the likes of Curaçao anyway. You know, I mean, 180,000 people, I think, live in Curacao, 160,000 people. And they're producing a team that can compete against the United States. I'm not so sure. I mean, right. I know that's been happened with Iceland, who have been brilliant and, and stuff like that. But it just shouldn't happen.
That's what you mean by that. You're not trying to be disrespectful to those players. That's the point. What you're saying is you have a greater population to be able to grab 11 players or so to be able to go out there, that you should be able to compete more than that.
And players that are making very good money in different leagues around the world, and they should be performing better than that against teams, against minnow teams. It's a minnow team, right? It's a minnow team. You should come out. They should be on the front foot. They should be taking them on throughout the game. At the end of the game, they were playing the game out to keep the victory.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that's okay. I mean, if I was in that situation, I probably would have done that as well. If I was the coach of the team, would have played it out, get the victory, and get out of here. But really, should have been on the front foot. They should have never had time to breathe on the ball. They looked good on the ball. They got a lot of space on the ball. They knocked it around. I mean, I know the USA opened up fairly well and looked like they could have scored a couple early on, but as the game went on, and Curacao settled into the game, you kind of wonder who was the better team. If you look at all the statistics, Curacao are up on the statistics. They're up on possession. They're up on accuracy of passing. They were up on shots, shots on goal. They were up everywhere. That just shouldn't happen. I mean, there is freak situations where a team can win against the top. Yeah. What supposedly
I sent you the screenshot at halftime, and I mean, statistically, Curacao was dominating the game.
Yeah. So listen, they've got through this one, and yeah, the next two games are not going to be easy based on the performances they've had right now. So, you know, they should be expected to beat Jamaica. And then I think it'll end up against Mexico in the final if they beat them. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Not on these performances. There's something not gelling there. I don't know if it's confidence. I can't put my finger on it. But if I was going to play against Curacao and I was playing for the United States of America, I'd be on the front foot. They wouldn't have time to breathe. They would have closed them down. Just like the U.S. women's national team came out. When they came out against minnow teams, they went all over them. They closed them down, took the ball off them, created chances, scored goals. They didn't give people time to get in the game. They didn't allow them to get any confidence in the game. The more space you give someone, the better the player they are, right? And that's the way I would have approached it. But listen, I suppose he has his own way of doing things. What I talk about him is the coach has his own way of doing things, and he adjusted and allowed them to have the ball a lot more than I would have. And they looked very, very confident. And in all honesty, if you didn't know the result, you'd wonder who was the better team on the night.
Right. Well, Coach Berhalter saying after the game that he wants to see more creative, dynamic play by his team. How does that happen? How do you get more creative and more dynamic?
Oh, well, look, I mean, it depends on the players you put on the pitch and what they're prepared to do and who you want to get on the ball most. Creative and dynamic, I mean, a lot of it is just pass and move, what I can see right now. I suppose what he's looking for dynamic is when they go into that final third and they look to create things and people make runs. And Pulisic is the player for that, and he did that early on in the game for them, and he created different options, but he didn't seem to get the ball enough. But I suppose what he's trying to say is get on and make things happen. You know, I don't know really what he's hitting at, because if you look at the first 20 minutes of the game, which was probably the most impressive part of the game for the U.S., you did see a bit of creativity. You saw it from Pulisic. How did you get him more in the game? You know, how did you get him making those runs behind players or timing runs to beat you or getting on the ball, coming back and picking it up in different areas of the field? I think that's what he's doing. Look, he set up a formation that seems to be very, very stoic, right? And it doesn't allow for the creativity. It's people in their positions doing what they need to do. When you're looking for creativity, you're looking for people to take a little bit of the game on themselves and step out of the regular role and make something happen. And when you play against teams that are weaker, players have got to make that decision. I was listening to Landon Donovan the other day, and he actually said that. He was quite right. He said, look, when it's not working for you this way, it's a player on the pitch says, hey, let's start getting this done. Or the player goes and talks to the coach and says, bring this player on. We need to change this up, or we need to do that when it's not working. And none of that happened. Now, is that inexperience in the coach's side?
Right.
Because, you know, if it was, he's not ready for the next level.
It's funny you say that, because
I'm trying to be nice about this.
Well,
you know,
this is what I was going to say. Yeah. What's interesting was right after the U.S. beat France, there was a preview, and Alexi and a couple of other guys were in there, and they did a soccer show afterwards. They specifically talked about how Berhalter said he's learning how to coach on the national stage and that he was using this as a way to do that. So it's interesting you say that, because he's admitted that. Yeah. And then some of the analysts said it's a dangerous thing. It's a good thing there's 3 years to do that. But you have a coach that's literally learning. It's different, I guess, to coach at that level.
Yeah, well, without getting too technical, there was a situation where they were getting pressed around the back. They were playing three at the back, and the other team was playing three forwards, and they were pressing these players, and there was no option. There was no fourth or fifth player to get out of trouble, and it took the USA out. He did not make any adjustments. I mean, that was someone sitting up in the stands could make that adjustment. And what I'm saying is I don't understand why he didn't. And it didn't allow them to get into the game. It got them more in trouble. And but that's getting very technical. But what I'm saying is that I don't know if he's there yet. You know, he's not proved to us that he is. When he was hired, it was a suspect hire anyway. Mm-hmm. And as I say, I'll try and be as nice as I can. And you know, but the honeymoon period's coming to an end. And we did wait well over a year to hire a coach, and then we hire someone that's been a major league soccer coach and been somewhat decent with that, but not with the best players. So look, we can't afford as a nation to be outcoached if our players aren't good enough to beat the top teams in the world.
Gotcha.
They better be good enough to beat the minnows in the world. And the coach, one way or the other, is going to be the significant factor in how you prepare these teams to play these games, no matter what level it is. So he's the one that's under pressure right now, more than the players, in my opinion.
Yeah, makes sense. Speaking with Coach Kenny Farrell, your New Orleans Jesters, again, they will play again Jamaica coming up here in a couple of days. We'll see how that's eventually going to wind up going there. Tomorrow you do have...
another World Cup final.
You say that. Look, England, they're calling it Spygate. I think this is a little bit too much, a little nothing to be made a big deal of. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. and England are staying in the same town, obviously, they're about to play. Same city and same area, same hotels are going to be hosting the finalists, right? Whoever wins this game. Well, if the U.S. win, they will move to the hotel that England's currently staying in. So they had two team officials walking around the hotel, kind of looking at, you know, where their hotel rooms are and things of that nature. You know this. I mean, everybody has an advanced team.
Yeah.
The England coach and staff didn't appreciate that, said, why are they even in the hotel? So they are now calling it a Spygate, saying that they're not doing the right etiquette and things of that nature.
Well, it was a call made to let the England team know that the U.S. was coming over to the hotel.
Yeah. But walking in a room. I mean, walking in a hotel doesn't do anything.
It doesn't really matter, though. The protocol is let them know that you're coming. That's just it. You don't have to, but you should. Say, listen, we're going to come. We're going to have a visit. If we happen to beat you guys, which we think we will, they'll probably throw that in there.
Okay.
You know, we're going to be over here next week.
Okay.
But that phone call should have happened. If the England team did not know that, then if I was the England coach or coaching staff or management staff, I'd be pretty upset. So you don't need to be here. And the same thing on the return. There's no need for, you know, there was no need to be there. But if they needed to come in an advance visit, just make sure it's coordinated with the management staff of the English national team. And we won't have a problem. But I don't know if it's Spygate. What are they going to spy on?
That's what I'm saying. unless you're in the meetings, you don't know anything about it. I guess it's more of the optics.
Are they planting microphones in the rooms? And
maybe it's more of the optics of, oh, you already think you're winning.
It might be an intimidation factor. They might think they're doing something, but whatever.
It's funny you say that because a lot's been talked about that first game when they scored the goals and everything. There's a couple of national writers that are just making their way over there. And they screenshotted pictures of the paper today, and there's a massive headline asking if this is the most arrogant team ever. It's not easy. I mean, the French are actually rooting for the
Brits.
The Brits to win.
Oh my God, something's happened.
Yeah, so
they'll be taking back the Statue of Liberty next.
Do you think this is? That's what I'm saying. Do you think it's a bad thing? I mean, because I almost get the sense that everyone's so worried about being like them. Like, this is national competition that you're trying to win the Gold Cup. You know,
there's a difference between being liked and being respected. Okay, so you fight to be respected. You shouldn't be afraid of anybody. Anytime you go on a pitch against anybody and you play against them, you should want to put them out of business. Blah blah blah. You know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's, if you call that arrogance, that's one thing. I don't know. I haven't sensed the arrogance. I mean, obviously the face of the team has become someone who's got political.
Mm-hmm.
If I was managing the team, even though she has every right, I wouldn't be happy about that. I'd say just get on with playing football until the end of it and do what you need to do afterwards. But that might be upsetting some people. But no. I mean, like, it is kind of strange that the French would be pulling for the English with the rivalries that they've had over the years over that channel. That's a really difficult one to understand, but maybe people just don't want American dominance in the world anymore. Because look at it. You've got, you know, four teams in the semifinals, three of them heavily European teams. You know, and when it came to the quarterfinals, I think seven of them were European teams, one being Scandinavia.
Yeah.
So they're starting to dominate the world. The only thing that's stopping them to dominate the world is the USA. So maybe it is like now it's time to take them down too. So to me, there's a bigger picture there, and that is if I'm in charge of the United States Soccer Federation, I'm saying how are we staying ahead of everybody because they are starting to catch us. I do want to mention that the coach is taking some pressure, and I've never been the biggest fan of her. But I think she's done a brilliant job. From where she came out and played on the front foot in the early games where they took teams out of games and they went and beat them, and then being able to adjust into a low-pressure game and not allow people to create chances against France in a very, very close game. I think she's done a great job, honestly. I think she's got the team through and done an extremely good job, and I think the criticism she's taken is not fair.
Netherlands and Sweden are the other semifinal on Wednesday, so how do you see this? Do you want to wait till tomorrow to talk about the game?
I mean, if you want to talk about it, it's fine. It's I mean, at this point, the semifinals, I don't think you can pick one team that's going to win it. I do believe the USA is going to pull it off on England. I could be wrong, but I think they are. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I just think that they have one or two more key world-class players at the women's level that can make the difference in the game. And I just hope the goalkeeper's on her game and there's no mistakes made around the back. And I think they'll overload on the left-back position. What's her name? Chris. It slips my mind, but I think that's probably their biggest weakness. But both teams have great players. But when it comes to the other two, there's going to be a very, very good defense playing against some very technical players on the Dutch side. And I think it's going to be a great game to watch tactically, how they set up and how they match up against each other. These, honestly, bringing this attention and passion to the women's game in this world forum is amazing. It's amazing the way it's done. It's really a great boost for women's soccer. And these are going to be great games that people will want to tune into and watch.
2 o'clock tomorrow on Wednesday, it's Jamaica and USA in the semifinal for the Gold Cup, 8:30 FS1. We'll preview and talk a lot, of course, over the next 2 days as well, Coach.
Well, hopefully we'll have a report from right outside the ground tomorrow if we can get him on.
Yeah.
And that would be great because it's right in your radio show and get a understanding of the fervor.
Who's the individual we're going to be talking to?
Ed McGuinness. He's the commissioner of Carrollton Booster Soccer Association. He's over there with his family, and he's going to be has a ticket for the semifinal and the final.
You sent me the picture of the ticket. There he is.
He's going to be outside the ground tomorrow, and he's willing to tell us what the atmosphere is like going in, and I think it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Thank you, Coach, for stopping in.
Thank you.
There you go. Head Coach Kenny Farrell. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Lauren here for Vision. We built a new house when our daughter arrived, and we made sure to include Home IQ in our plans. Being a mom is great, and I feel safe knowing that Vision has us covered with home security. The high-tech perks are great, too. Automated door locks, cameras, 24/7 surveillance, garage door control, thermostats, all accessible from my mobile phone. You don't need a new house to get the security you need for your family. Just call us. Watch and control your house with Home IQ, smarter security from Vision. Louisiana license F1256.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Why wait for Black Friday in November when Dell's Black Friday in July is on right now, and it's our biggest one ever? Score incredible deals, including up to $400 off the very latest Dell and Alienware computers, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping on everything. And don't miss out on an amazing selection of electronics and accessories like Bose headphones. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/Black Friday. That's 800-BUY-DELL for massive deals today.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Lee, we'll get to you in a quick sec. Big Faye 504. Not a lot of NFL or football topics going around, but there is one that's been interesting. Hall of Famer John Robinson being hired by LSU as a special consultant to head coach Ed Orgeron. Apparently, they've been close for a number of years, and Robinson's wife's from New Orleans, an LSU grad, and never bad when you have a Hall of Fame coach being able to go back and forth and just talk about ideas, huh, Big Fave?
Not at all, man. And when I saw this, Gus, I saw in my mind Coach Ed Orgeron just really wants to sharpen his tool chest. You know, you look at Coach Robinson, his experience, not only at Southern Cal with the Los Angeles Rams, and, this guy has over 4 years' experience as a coach in the NFL. So, I mean, just that leadership and all those et cetera is going to be important for Coach Ed Orgeron in his daily planning with practice, you know, going through different personnel decision-making. He just seems like, as a head coach, he just wants to get better.
So when you have a player, when you have somebody come into the staff, and you see a lot, Nick Saban's been having a ton of consultants who all have been head coach in one shape or form. What do you think is the biggest advantage of having somebody like that? What exactly will he be consulting on?
Well, I think it really not only helps out with the day-to-day schedule, practice, and things of that nature, it helps takes the edge off. And a lot of times, you know, folks don't realize how much pressure a head coach could be under in the daily responsibility. Don't get it twisted. Coach Ed Orgeron has a really good staff of folks that really know the game and can really help out in that regard. But for the day-to-day game planning and things of that nature, that experience is going to be very helpful. You mentioned Coach Saban. He has a ton of analysts. Bill Belichick, he has analysts. Just those little things that you have to improve in for the team to take on a more executive role.
Yeah, look, again, anytime you have players or an individual can come in and, A, you can talk to your players, but really, as you mentioned, just kind of give you tidbits and just kind of look at things. You know, I don't know specifically what a lot of the consulting is going to be, but maybe it is kind of take a look at game field, give some thoughts, and sometimes be somebody outside of that staff to probably say, yeah, that doesn't work, or that really does work, you should do more of it.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and gives you someone else outside of that staff. Like, you know, he has a personal assistant to, like, his daily routines, but just someone from the football side to help you out in regards of the schedule. So I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, it's the week they're playing Alabama. You take Coach Robinson and his experience playing in big games, you know, how to approach it from the practice perspective, Mondays versus Wednesdays. You know, what are some drills or some plays you can incorporate that'll give you a slight edge against a big SEC opponent. Just little day-to-day game strategy, things like that is what Coach Robinson will provide to Coach Ed Orgeron at that position as his assistant.
At Big Faye 504, thanks for chiming in, man. We'll talk a little bit later this week at some other storylines, some other little interesting tidbits, which we'll get into. We have more time for sure. As folks, as always, can tune in to your podcast, Inside the Trenches. Thank you, Marlon.
Hello, somebody. I'll talk to you, baby. All right, see you Friday.
All right, my man. Mr. Hollywood Fave. Warriors releasing a statement, basically thanking Kevin Durant and Lee. Says nobody will ever wear 35 again for the Warriors again. Lee, I got only about 25 seconds, man, for the top of the hour. What's your main thing you want to say?
Well, I wanted to chime in with Coach Kenny Farrell. I wanted to ask him, when you see a team like the U.S., the game we played against Curacao, mm-hmm. how much of the credit goes to the other team for showing up for that game versus how much was that on us as a team, and what you do as a coach
Lee,
to guard against being flat like that?
I'm going to have him on tomorrow, 105, when we speak with somebody outside of the game of U.S. and England. We'll ask him that. You can call in and talk to him then. Sounds good?
Sounds wonderful, Gus. Thanks, bud.
All right, my dude. We'll talk tomorrow. Matt Moscone after further reviews up next. You're listening to the home Pelicans basketball summer league on Friday. Coming up, don't go anywhere. Matt Moscone up next on ESPN New Orleans. It's all right.